Elliot Friedman is our NHL insider from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Joins us every Monday on the program. Mr. Friedman, you first reported it on Saturday night as part of headlines, and today official. Flames bring back Jeff Ward. He's no longer the interim head coach. Just your thoughts on the process and the decision by the Flames today.
You know, Pat, honestly, when after the season, in my wager, and you know me, I like to gamble, was 75-25 that Ward was coming back.
Okay.
And, you know, I just thought that, you know, there would be a lot of positivity in terms of the way that he picked up the pieces after the Bill Peters situation. I think some of your guys played pretty well under him, some guys who've been struggling early. You know, you won the first playoff round. I know the play-in round, whatever the heck we all want to call it. I know the second round ended in frustration. You know, I thought the goalie move was the right idea, even though the execution didn't work. I understood what he tried to do. I had personal respect for him the way he handled it after. He refused to blame anybody else. Like, in the emotion of that game, someone might have buried his goalie. He didn't do that. I just thought there were a lot of positives. Plus, also, like, he's a guy you know, right? Like, when it's a guy you know, I think there has to have a lot go wrong for it not to be him. But I think what happens is you take a deep breath. Your GM did that. You take a look around. You say, is there anyone out there who is better for us than this guy is? I don't know that there was anybody there. And, like, you know, I think also, too, I just think they looked at the whole thing and said, are we going to do better than what we have here? And I'm just not convinced they were.
Certainly some criticism in some corners of Flames fans about them not chasing, whether it's Laviolette or Gallant or Babcock, Boudreau, like the big crop of names are out there. Is that a fair criticism in your eyes?
Well, you know, here's the way I look at it. Like, I always worry when I say things like this because they get kind of misconstrued a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, everybody has a price point, right? So let's just say, for argument's sake, that if you're going to go hire Peter Laviolette, his price point is going to be probably somewhere around $2 million. Now, I'm not sure what number Ward got. I'm betting it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to guarantee to me that, let's just say Ward signed for $1 million, which I would bet is probably somewhere around the ballpark.
Right.
Are you 100% certain that Ward at $1 million, who knows your players and did a good job with them, is going to be worse than Laviolette for two?
Well, and we talked about this a little earlier. I'm kind of with you. And on top of that,
here's my question, Pat. Like,
yeah.
why do people think there? Because I don't live there. Like, I'm not a Calgarian. Why do people think that keeping Ward was a bad decision?
Well, okay, so here is the big reason. I don't agree with this sentiment for a couple different reasons, but the big sentiment is, well, look, I mean, Gallant is a franchise changer, or Laviolette is a franchise changer, and they're available, and there had been some criticism over certain handling of things from Ward, as there is with any other coach, and so I believe that is the largest reason for frustration from some, not from everyone, from some, is that they didn't go and spend, to your point, on a bigger name coach. And I think the other part of the frustration is that the organization has never really spent the top dollar on coaches. So I think that also plays into it for some. That would be my read on the situation.
Okay. Well, okay. I mean, that's fair. Like, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I do believe that. If it wasn't that, all of us in sports radio would have no jobs. So thank God people have opinions.
Agreed.
I kind of look at it this way. The other thing too is, like, we're in a time of COVID, right? Like, the budgets are being pulled back everywhere. If you're going to make a big money gamble And Jeff Ward is a big money, and hiring a coach is a big money gamble because it's going to cost you. What's it going to cost you? $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. Like, that's what this can do. Like, you better make sure you're taking the best gamble. And the one thing is, like, you know what you got here. And I'm sure the Flames considered this because any GM who's got half a brain would consider this. Like, I'm sure he looked at all that stuff. Like, what if we go out and we get Gerard Gallant? Are we sure we're better off with that than this at the price point it's going to be? And, I understand, like, you guys had a coach, like, Jeff Ward came into a situation there this year where it would have been so easy to be a disaster. Like, you guys had a built-in excuse to fall apart. And he pulled them together, and it wasn't easy. And I know the end of the game left a really bitter taste in people's mouths. I get that. If I was a Flames fan and watching that last game, I'd be pissed off too. I'm sure all the Flames are probably still pissed off about it. But, like, I think, like, to me, he took a job this year in very difficult circumstances. And I thought he did really well. Mm-hmm. And to me, that matters. And you know what? Also with me too, I always bet on the person I know over the person I don't know if it's anywhere close.
Right. Right. Elliot Friedman's with us, Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet, joins us on Mondays. And now that the coaching decision is set, now that the coaching decision is behind them, the focus is going to be on roster changes, if there are any. I heard you with Boomer on Friday. I heard you on Thursday on the podcast in Buffalo, and we spoke on Wednesday. I'm just curious as to what you're hearing in terms of how busy Brad Treliving's been and what potential changes might be on the horizon, knowing all of the names that are out there and could be connected to the team.
I think a lot of these teams are, I think a lot of these teams now are kind of just making calls and figuring out who's available. It's like someone was saying to me when Vancouver got knocked out last week, all of a sudden, one of the guys making the most calls was Jim Benning. Okay. I'm going through the league. I'm thinking about what I want to do, and I want to hear what you are going to want to do. And he starts making his way around. And that's kind of what everybody's doing right now. Like, who you got? What do you want to do? What are you looking at? We've had a couple of moves. And, guys tell me that there's a lot of talk. There's action. Everything heats up. But then it calms down again. So I think there's pockets. But the one thing I think is true, Pat, I think there's a lot of conversation. I think your GM is out there. Like, I think by now he probably has a pretty good idea on what the value is on guys he wants to move. Who's interested, who's not, kind of what the return could be. And now he's got to kind of make his decisions. I think also when it comes to signing players, that's going on too. Now, I think one of the things that's going on there is we talked about Arizona. Steve Sullivan's been making the calls there. And guys tell me, like, he's pretty active, but they're also going through a search. And I think people are trying to figure out, I think they finished their first round. I'm not sure when they're planning on their second round or if they're going to hire someone. I don't know the answer to that. But I think some people are kind of wondering, like, is Arizona going to make moves or are they going to wait to hire their next person?
Right.
And I think that could kind of affect the market too.
Rick Bowness is doing a hell of a job as interim head coach of the Dallas Stars right now. They're up 3-1 on the Vegas Golden Knights. Game 5 of that series is on Sportsnet and CBC tonight. What do we know about his tenure as head coach beyond this postseason, though?
Well, Jim Nill was on in the pregame with Scott Oak on Saturday night before Game 4. and he said he's earned it. He said that they said when he took over for Jim Montgomery, they would talk about it at the end of the year, and then Neil said he's earned it, and that I hope down the road he wants to be our head coach. And that kind of, like, I think Rick Bowness wanted another chance to be a head coach in the NHL. You know, he went for the Anaheim job. He lost it to Dallas Eakins, but he was a finalist there. You know, I think that he has been a guy who's definitely been in a couple of positions. And, you know, I think in a perfect world, he would take this. It's just, it's a weird time right now, right, with everything that's going on, Pat. And, you know, he's got, his family's getting big. Yeah, I think he's got grandkids now. I just think that's going to be the only question. Is there anything that makes him want to say, you know what, it isn't the right time, or it's not for me now? I think that's the only question there.
They're up 3-1 on the Vegas Golden Knights, and you know, I certainly have observed as this postseason has gone along for Dallas that, you know, they weren't necessarily being considered the favorites against Calgary, even. Definitely not against Colorado, and certainly not in this series against Vegas. Yet here they are, a game away from playing in the Stanley Cup Final. Like, how much credit does this group deserve? Because they are playing some outstanding hockey right now.
Well, I think that you deserve credit to win. I mean, how many games have they won now in the playoffs? 11, right?
Yep.
I mean, you know, you don't get the real credit till you win 16. But 11 is good for now. And, you know, like, they remind me a lot of St. Louis last year. Really heavy team, kind of grinds. I don't know that they have the Ryan O'Reilly there, but they've got a lot of great D. Like, Ben and Sagan, who weren't always very good, they both kind of look like they're getting stronger. And that's a good thing for them. You know, they've got, like I really believe in this league, and this is something Mark Bergevin told me once. There are guys who get you in, and there are guys who get you through. And I think Dallas has a lot of guys who get you through. Like Joe Pavelski during the regular season, there were times in the regular season he just looked like, one guy said to me at one point, like, that guy's done. And now in the playoffs, he's at another level. Mm-hmm. Corey Perry, same thing. I had guys say to me in the regular season, that guy's done. And now, you know, he's given them really good minutes. And their D, I mean, those guys are so talented. So, like, I just think that they got a lot of guys who get you through. I still think Vegas is going to be a tough team to put down. But the happiest guy is probably me, Pat, because at the beginning of the year, I picked them to win the Stanley Cup.
Ooh,
and there
right.
were times during their... During the times of the regular season, I looked like a real stupid idiot.
I think that's probably a little harsh. Of all the people who are hardest on themselves, I don't know if anybody is harder on themselves than you. But, yeah, there are other reasons why you look like a stupid idiot, not so much that one.
Thanks, Pat. That's really nice.
I thought you'd like that. Tampa also up 3-1 on the New York Islanders. Just a thought on how dialed in this group has looked since the return to play.
Well, you know what? I really like, by the way, I'm walking past friend of Calgary, Kelly Rudy, right now.
Oh, who's already hello to Kelly for us.
Already in his, like, suit attire for tonight's. Hey, way to win the Keener Award by being dressed at 2 hours before the show. Pat Steinberg says hi. He says, get lost. No, he says hi back. You know, I just think, you know, to be honest, Pat, like, I think the Islanders have been one of the most impressive teams here, and Tampa's totally overwhelming them. You know, to me, the big deal is point, though. Like, I think they can close out the series without point. If he's hurt, though, I think it's going to be, I still think they could win the Stanley Cup without point. But it's so much more difficult. Like, he's so important to them. And that groin looks like it's going to be a problem. He couldn't play the last 9 minutes the other night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's that. There's no doubt. They're a completely different team with him in there. So that is a significant worry here going forward then, hey?
Well, you look at it. He left the one game. He missed the next game. And then, you know, he took a big hit. And you know you're gonna pay a physical price when you play the Islanders. And if Tampa wins, you're gonna pay a physical price against either one of these two teams. And you know they're watching the games too. They see points banged up. He's gonna be a target. Like, it looks like this is gonna be a battle for him.
Okay. Elliot Friedman's with us. Couple of things outside of the postseason. First of all, you reported on headlines on Saturday. Sounds like Vancouver has made their decision that this is going to be a cap year for them.
Yeah, I think they kind of feel that they just generally feel that they're always a cap team. They when they need to be, they pretty much are, and they've indicated that this is going to be no different. So, and they're going to have to be a cap team. Like I think it's going to be fascinating. I think they're going to take runs at Markstrom, Tanev, and Toffoli and see if they can do it. And that'll affect some of their decisions elsewhere. I think that depending on what those three do, if they can get those guys back, it affects the decisions that they make up and down their roster. Guys like Virtanen, do they have to do any buyouts? Are they guys they're going to have to move or non-qualify to make things work? So I think all those are going to be determining factors, but I've heard there's never an issue there when it comes to can they spend the cap if they need to.
I was quite interested to hear your report about former U.S. Olympian Angelo Ruggiero and how close she was and how in the mix she was for Florida's GM spot. Eventually, it went to Bill Zito. But is Angela a name we should be watching going forward here?
Well, I don't know that I would say she was close because I just don't know. I just know that they asked to interview her. And I heard that in the middle of last week, and I kind of started looking into it. And I spoke to her on Saturday, and she explained the timeline to me that they called her. I guess they hired Zito. I can't remember if it was last Tuesday or last Wednesday. Like, all of these days just blur into one to me. But they called her before the weekend, like a day or two before the previous weekend, and they asked her if she would consider being interviewed. And she has a CEO job right now. She's the co-founder of a company. And, it's a big job, and she's been committed to it. And she asked for some time. And by the time she got back to them and said, yes, I'd like to be interviewed, they made their decision. But I'm just told it's not going to be the last time someone calls on her. I don't know her very well personally. I covered her in her career. I mean, she was a hell of a player. But I don't know her very well personally. But Cassie said on the air, and it's not the first time I've heard it, that if the NHL ever does create like a WNHL or whatever they would call it, it wouldn't be a surprise if she was, I don't know if commissioner is the right word, but very heavily involved. Okay. Like, she is someone who is very much on the league's radar. And so it's not surprising to me that her name would come up. And, I think she... Obviously, the idea of getting back into hockey is something that appeals to her, so I wouldn't be surprised if it comes up somewhere else.
Okay. And a final thought for you. NFL returned this weekend. Both Kansas City and Jacksonville allowed around 17,000 fans. More teams are going to be doing that. Forward teams traveled. Just a thought on what the NHL can learn here from the NFL as the NHL makes plans for their next season.
Well, it's like the tough thing about that is that the fans were in Kansas City and Jacksonville, which are not dome stadiums. Like, those are open air stadiums, right? So the comparison is not exactly the same. The one thing I really do believe, Pat, is that the owners don't want to play next year until there's, and the phrase I've been told is a path to attendance. Like, they want to know at some point next season they're going to be able to have fans in the building. And the problem with that is, like, here on September the 14th, like, we don't know what's going to happen next week, never mind in 2 or 3 months. So I think everybody would be shocked if we're playing on December 1st, as has been tentatively scheduled. I think it'll be later than that. I think it'll be a very regional schedule with not a lot of travel, even if cross-border travel would be possible. But I do think the owners in the NHL want a path to attendance. I just don't think anybody knows what that is right now.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. Great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate it, Elliot. Have a good telecast tonight. We will talk to you next week. Thank you so much.
Pat, by the way, I'm also here with Brian Burke, and he does not say hi to you.
That doesn't surprise me either.
Just kidding, bud.
See you, Elliot.
All right. Bye.
Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Reduce touch points and stay open for business with hands-free doors. Calgary Lock and Safe recommends wave sensors, arm pulls, and foot pulls. Explore options at calgarylockandsafe.com.